Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Not quite. It's not the big unit. Instead, it's the big selfish. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill for the next 3 days here on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You may know me from my time as the host on the Wendy's Big Show for 7 long years on the flagship of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. I said this previously on 105.7 FM, The Fan, when I visited with Winkler and Horvath over there. This probably doesn't matter to anybody else but me, but being in a studio is really nice, Joseph. It's really, really nice to be in a studio. Done a handful of fill-ins for Bill already, but they've all been from my apartment, from my couch, which has its positives. Trust me, it has its positives, but haven't been in a studio with other humans in 5-6 months. This is weird. This is weird but cool.
This is unusual looking at a human the same room as me.
I mean,
we've got Evan Heffelfinger other side of the glass.
He is. I didn't see him.
Yeah, he's hidden back there. There he is. There he is. But I mean,
Evan. Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, there he is.
But I thought he left.
But like to be in the same room with a human, this does
it's
not.
It's weird,
make,
right?
It's very
it's weird,
weird
in 2020 to be in a room with other human beings. It's
six
crazy.
Months. 6 months.
And we're going to talk to other people, mostly over the phone this afternoon, including you at 855-830-8648. You can tweet me at Rami is tweeting if you want to get in on anything we're discussing on the show today. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, he's going to join us at 11:05. James Jones, former Packers wide receiver, also NFL Network analyst, he's going to join us at 12:05. And Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com, he's going to join us at 1:05 because I have questions about the return of the Big Ten, which has been announced. It's been made official. Big Ten football will resume the weekend of October 24th. And I got my questions. I have questions about why this is happening. And look, I don't not want college football. I don't not want the Big Ten to return. I very much do. I'm not even the biggest college football guy, but the more football, the better. And I know it makes a lot of you listening to me right now happy. That's good for business. When you're happy about sports, you tune into shows like this more often. So I want the Big Ten football action to resume. I do. I want it to resume, and I was hoping for a quicker return than the spring return that they had said was going to happen when they shut operations down a few weeks ago. Nobody was talking about the Big Ten returning to action until the spring, when they shut this thing down a few weeks ago because of this pandemic that we're in the middle of. And I don't know if everybody feels the same way I do about the NCAA cartel and all its extensions, including the Big Ten, but I'm always weary. I always have questions about their motives. I think the Big Ten bows, well, the NCAA as a whole bows to one God and one God only, and that's the almighty dollar. Whatever the NCAA and any arm of that cartel does, I'm always asking, how does that help the bottom line? And when they shut down the Big Ten season, and I filled in for Bill right after that happened, I said, I know people got questions, and I understand you want those questions answered, and you want some more transparency in this whole process. That's what parents asked for in that letter to the Big Ten. They wanted more transparency as to why their kids weren't playing football. I get that. But for me, all I needed to know was that the scenarios that they saw, the possibilities that they saw playing out if they returned to football were so bad, were potentially so bad that the Big Ten was turning down money. Like, that's really all I needed to hear. When you tell me the Big Ten is turning down money, I go, well, some awful stuff must have been about to happen. Because that doesn't just, like, if you told me at the start of 2020 something was going to happen in this country that would stop the NCAA tournament and shut down the Big Ten college football schedule? If you told me that, like, you didn't tell me what it was. You just told me on January 1st, 2020, hey, man, something is going to happen this year that's going to stop the NCAA tournament from happening, that's going to shut down the Big Ten college football schedule, and all the money that goes with that for those conferences and for the umbrella of the NCAA, I would think we're living in Mad Max times right now. You know what I mean? That's how bad I would think things have to get for the NCAA tournament to be shut down and for the Big Ten to stop their college football schedule. So when they decided they weren't going to play college football in 2020 and put it off until the spring of 2021, I just went, well, that has to be the right decision. Because they wouldn't do that unless they really, really, really felt like they needed to do that. Too much money is on the line. So when they decide all of a sudden, how long ago was that, that they made that decision that they weren't going to play the college football schedule in the Big Ten, Joe? Was that 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
It was about a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? And I'm not, again, I'm going to reiterate this. I want Big Ten football back. I want all the sports back that we can have back, even the ones I don't watch. I want MLS playing, okay? I want all the sports happening right now. That's how I feel about it. And I'm also not somebody who won't move off a position. A lot of guys who do what I do for a living, both in the sports world, the news talk world, you name it. Guys it's their job to give their opinions into microphones. They give an opinion and they never want to move off of it. I think that's an idiotic way to go about life. Present new circumstances and new evidence to me, and I'm willing to move off my position. I didn't think it was safe to play college football when the Big Ten made this decision a few weeks ago. I agreed with the decision. I need to know what changed. I need to know what changed before I trust the motives of the Big Ten that they didn't cave to A, financial concerns, and B, public and political pressure. You got the president calling the president of the United States calling the president of the Big Ten, saying, how do we get football back on the field? That's about as much political pressure as you can possibly face as a college football conference. So I just want to make sure that they're doing this for the right reasons. The health of these kids who are playing for free. And yes, I know they get scholarships and all that, and I'm not dismissing that or the value of a college education, but they are playing this sport for free. I know the NFL is playing. Those guys get paid handsomely to take on the risk that they're taking playing in the middle of a pandemic. These kids go out on that field and play that sport for free every Saturday. So I need to make sure that we're not putting at risk the health of these kids and putting at risk the further spread of a pandemic, because these kids live on college campuses, are interacting with other college kids. It's not like this is just going to spread through the locker room. That's not how this works. It's going to spread to other kids on campus. It's going to spread to other kids who those kids come in contact with, so on and so forth. So I need to know that they're doing this for the right reasons.
Well,
I'm going to give you a couple of quotes and tell you what they say has changed real quick before we get to the break. And like I said, Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com, he's going to join us at 105. Barry Alvarez said, great news today. Over the past month, I could sense the anticipation from our players and coaches. I'm thrilled on their behalf that they will have a chance to play a 2020 season. Stay positive, test negative. That's a great slogan. We should have been using that a long time ago. Let's play football. Oh, that was a Jim Harbaugh quote. I'm sorry. I misattributed that to Barry Alvarez. That's a good slogan. I'm not a big Jim Harbaugh guy, but stay positive, test negative. That should have been like that should have been our nation's slogan a long time ago.
And wear khakis.
And wear khakis, yes. And get that laundry detergent money for sure. Let's see. Now this is what they said. Let me find where they talk about the testing that's going to be in place for this. That they say is as sealed tight as it can possibly be. So they're going to have rapid testing. That program will begin September 30th on all 14 Big Ten campuses. Test results must be completed and recorded prior to each practice or game. Student athletes who test positive for the coronavirus through point of contact daily testing would require scientific word I'm not going to try to pronounce. I'll just use the abbreviation PCR, something chain reaction test, to confirm the result of the POC test. Each Big Ten team will designate a chief infection officer to report data about testing to the league, which will make decisions about practice and competition based on team positivity rate and population positivity rate. They didn't give us what the threshold is in terms of when things will be shut down again if a certain percentage of players test positive. That we haven't received. I would like to know that. Football players who test positive for COVID-19 must wait at least 21 days to return to competition, as they will undergo comprehensive cardiac testing before being cleared by a cardiologist designated by each university primarily for that purpose. Concerns about myocarditis and inflammation of the heart muscle caused by viral infection like COVID-19 significantly contributed to the Big Ten's initial decision to postpone the football season. And that's the other thing. I mentioned like these kids' health, because COVID can make you very sick, even kill you if you're young and healthy. It's rare, but it can happen. But also, we don't know the long-term effects of this. And these kids are taking on that risk for free. Now, that testing policy that I just read off for you there seems really thorough. Seems really, really thorough. Why wasn't that the testing policy that they had in place the first time they tried to start a Big Ten season? Or was it? And nothing has changed, but the almighty dollar has spoken, and you got a call from the White House and other politicians, and you got parents, and you got fans. Like, there's a lot of pressure on the Big Ten to come back right now, and a lot of money for the Big Ten to come back for right now. And I just want to know that those aren't the reasons that the Big Ten is coming back now, as opposed to the spring when we originally heard they were going to be playing football again.
But of all the Power Five conferences, Rami,
mm-hmm.
the Big Ten was the most proactive.
They acted the most responsibly.
They had a schedule in place.
Right.
They revamped the schedule with flexibility to say, okay, look, if a game gets canceled this week because of COVID, it's okay. We're going to push it back because we've given ourselves that kind of flexibility. I'm disappointed with all the presidents who decided not to go along with it because the Big Ten did what they needed to do. Now it was putting together the safety protocols around that, which it just felt like they didn't feel like doing. Remember, there was a coalition of players from the Big Ten that came out and said, okay, the schedule's in place, but we want this, 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 and this to make sure that we're safe. And it just seemed like the president said, nah, we're not going to work with you guys on this. And that's why the Big Ten didn't have their season.
But I'm not gonna sit here and say I don't think the NCAA has the right motives the Big Ten has the right motives or is not coming back for the right reasons. I'm going to wait till we talk with Pete Futak at 105 because he knows a lot more about what's going on behind the scenes. Again, what has changed? Because I thought the Big Ten acted responsibly in shutting down the football schedule when they did. If things have changed dramatically and it's that much safer for these kids to go out and play right now than it was when they made that decision, fine. I'm good with it. We have more sports on the docket. Everybody's happy. Everybody's quarantined. We all need things to watch. Okay, I want college football back. I just need to know that circumstances changed enough for it to be safe, and it's not the money and the political and the public pressure that they've felt since announcing that decision.
Well, I have a quote here. This is a quote from Northwestern President Morton Shapiro moments ago. Quote, it wasn't about political pressure. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about lawsuits. It wasn't about doing what everybody else was doing. It was the unanimous opinion of our medical experts. He said Saturday's meeting with the league's medical team was a turning point for him personally.
I hope that's the case.
I hope so too.
But Joe, even if that wasn't the case, that's exactly what I'd expect him to stand in front of microphones and say.
Well,
right?
PR.
Like, he wouldn't just come out and be like, yeah, guys, you know what? It got really hard. It got hot. My seat got hot there for a minute. You got, did you know the president called me? The president, you guys, of the United States called me. I just couldn't put up with it anymore. So we're going to play. It's not safe, but we're going to go ahead and play football anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to say what you just read off to me. So all due respect, I don't believe him. At face value. I'm not saying he's not telling the truth. I'm just saying I'm not buying the words at face value. I need to talk to people who don't have a motive to lie to my face.
I also think partially it was because of money, because they need the money right now to save as many athletics as they can in each school, because that's a whole nother crisis.
I mean, yes. And look, the money problem is a real problem. I'm not dismissing any of this. But first and foremost, like, people shouldn't die if they don't have to. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, okay. No one should die. Right,
thank you.
Right.
Like, people shouldn't get really sick and die if they don't have to for football. Okay. That's all I'm saying. That might be an extreme stance in 2020, but that's all I'm saying here. Robbie Backlaw filling in for Bill Michaels on the Bill Michaels Show. On the other side, man, oh man, you had to enjoy that Brewers game last night if you were watching that, for a number of reasons, and we'll discuss right after this. Robbie Maklouf in for Bill. It's the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Van Horn Automotive wants you to sell them your car. I'm not kidding. Go ahead. Flat out, they need your car right now. And they're going to pay whatever it takes to get it. And you can get up to $3,000 over Kelley Blue Book value. Just bring in your vehicle and your title. Just walk away with cash. For all the information to set up service appointments for everything going on with our great friends at Van Horn Automotive, go to VanHornAuto.com. No obligation to buy, no waiting to hear back, no salespeople, just cash for your vehicle. If you would like to buy or finance or schedule service or look for a car, a new car, a used car, go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. They are family-born and employee-owned, but great people over there at VanHornAuto.com.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Struggled with it. Vogelback will lift one in the air, deep to right field. And Lane Thomas going back, and there's the Vogel bomb from Daniel Vogelback, his first as a Brewer.
And he knew it was coming soon. I mean, the approach has been really good. Hey, the big fella's been swinging a bat here in Milwaukee. Third homer this year, first as a Brewer.
LePay and Rock there on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Rami Maklouf here in for Bill Michaels on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We're going to talk with Dan Miller, voice of the Lions, ahead of the Week 2 matchup between the Packers and Lions coming up at 10:35. That made it 18-3 last night at Miller Park in the nightcap of a doubleheader. And man, you just got to love beating up on the Cardinals, don't you? Like, oh, it just... It's a little extra something when you beat up on the Cardinals. It's like, it just, I don't even, you know how sometimes when you go to a restaurant and like something just tastes really, really good and you can't put your finger on what it is, you just know it's special. It has something that you've never tasted in that dish before. That's what I feel like every time one of the teams that I root for beats up on the St. Louis Cardinals, and in a crucial game. I mean, these two teams have 10 games left. Well, I think 8 after the doubleheader last night. These two teams have 8 games left with, I think, only 15 left on the season. Total 8 of the 15 left that the Brewers have. Hold on, let me do the math. No, 13. 8 of the 13 games that the Brewers have left on the season will be against these St. Louis Cardinals, who you trail by one game for second place and the wild card spot. So every one of these games is huge between these two teams right now. But in addition to beating them 18-3 last night and getting a nice little leg up in this neck and neck race between those two teams for one of the playoff spots, you also got under the skin of the Cardinal who I hate more than any St. Louis Cardinal, and that's the catcher Yadier Molina.
3-2 pitch in the ninth. Catcher's interference. Yeah, Molina got the worst of it.
Can you pause it for a second? Can you pause it for a second, Joe? It's just bad. It's just catcher interference. Like, this is kind of, it doesn't happen often, But this is just kind of a routine thing that happens from time to time in baseball. Ryan Braun, he swings a big bat, and he kind of has a long looping swing where he extends his arms, and he probably draws more catcher interference than most batters in Major League Baseball. But this is a pretty common occurrence across the sport of baseball. But let's see how Yadier Molina handles it. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Molina got the worst of it by far.
It sucks. I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Hit by the bat. I mean, you see that quite a bit with Ryan Braun. He will swing late. Got him on the hand, and that'll be an E2 interference. RBI. A little now, Molina. Imagine he wasn't happy before. These
can
guys
you pause
don't
a
see
second,
a lot of each other.
I was watching this game last night, and I'm going, what? I was so confused. I was like, what? Huh? He's upset? With who? For what? Catcher interference every time. And I didn't play Major League Baseball, disclaimer. But I played catcher from age 5 to like age 20. And every time, you know whose fault catcher interference is every time? Joe, do you have a guess?
It's the catcher.
It's the catcher. Every time catcher's interference is the catcher's fault. That's why it's called catcher's interference. So at this point, I'm looking at my screen puzzled. I'm watching this game and looking quizzically at my TV like, what could he possibly be upset about? Continue on, Joseph.
Imagine he wasn't happy before. These guys are going to see a lot of each other between now and the end of the season. Jed Jerko, you see the former teammate of Molina.
Now, this is not good. No. I mean, you know, you can't be doing this kind of thing, you know, based on what's going on in our country right now with the virus. Now you got the bullpens emptying out. Everybody over by the Brewers dugout.
Bullpens emptied. Okay. Bullpens emptied over a catcher's interference. This is the epitome of what I hate about the St. Louis Cardinals. They take offense to anything that, you're not even allowed to beat them. Because let's not beat around the bush here. That's exactly what that was about. Yadier Molina and the Cardinals were getting their faces caved in by the Milwaukee Brewers, and he got his fingy hurt when Ryan Braun hit him with a bat, and it was his fault. And now benches are clearing and bullpens are emptying. There have been a lot of dumb bench clearing, bullpen emptying incidents throughout the history of Major League Baseball. Most of them are dumb. Most of them are stupid. Most of them are pointless and uneventful. We don't even get the fight that we're all standing around chanting for like school kids most of the time that an MLB bench empties or the bullpen's empty. This, quite possibly, because of the circumstances, that it was a catcher's interference that got this dude riled up, and because you're down 18-3, and we're in the middle of a pandemic where we're supposed to be, like, you know, keeping our distance from each other whenever possible, this really might go down, and this is a bold, bold statement on my part, as the dumbest, stupidest, most pointless bench-clearing, bullpen-emptying incident in the history of Major League Baseball. Am I being hyperbolic or exaggerating when I say that? That a dude getting clipped by a bat on catcher's interference, taking offense to that somehow, and starting a ruckus that goes to the point of emptying benches and bullpens in the middle of a pandemic is the dumbest bench-clearing, bullpen-emptying incident in the history of baseball.
Not to mention the game was completely out of reach.
It's got
to
be up there, right? It's got to be up there.
So stupid.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing last night. You can't do anything to the Cardinals. You can't win, and you can't enjoy winning. You can't hit the catcher with the bat accidentally on a catcher's interference. Has Yadier Molina never been the victim of catcher's interference before? Is this the first time a bat has ever clipped Yadier Molina's glove? And it hurts, dude. I know. Like I said, I played catcher for a long time. It hurts. It sucks. But you kind of just, like, bite your lip and go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Not he shouldn't have done that. Like, I got too close. I jumped the gun. I was trying to frame the pitch or whatever might have happened. But it was my fault. God, I hate them. Oh, can the Cardinals just... They should have just kicked them out of baseball when they had the whole COVID outbreak. They should have just had a season without the Cardinals and let the rest of us enjoy the sport. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, Dan Miller, voice of the Detroit Lions. We'll look ahead to Packers and Lions. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels and back right after this.
This portion of the program brought to you by good friends at New Mail Medical. Now it was winter, then it was COVID, then it was quarantines and masks, and you could go out, you couldn't go out. So much misinformation. Look, the bottom line is this. You probably sat home, binged on TV, ate a little bit too much. You put on some pounds. Maybe you're in a funk. Whatever it may be, call my friends over at New Mail Medical Center. Look, I was the same way, and within days after I called, I was back to working out. And here it is, late summer. I'm thinner than I have been since I was a sophomore in high school. You can go to the Facebook fan page and see for yourself. I know a lot of guys fell into the same rut, right? Trust me. Call New Mail Medical Center today. They can help you get back in the game. Whether you're dealing with a lack of energy and brain fog from low T, or suffering from ED, or you just want to shed those unwanted pounds, take it from me. Call New Mail Medical Center. They can help with locations in Milwaukee and in Green Bay. But one number, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the New Mail Medical Center.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, and by Bud Light Seltzer, a unique five-step filtration process that ensures a cleaner finish and no lingering aftertaste. Go to BudLight.com for details.
Thanks, Billy Mike. Rami Makhlouf here in for Bill Michaels. You might recognize this voice from my days as the host of The Big Show on the flagship of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. You can tweet me at Rami is tweeting. R-A-M-I-E is tweeting. We're going to talk with Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network coming up at 11:05. Some Packers with him. Talk some Packers and Lions right now with the voice of those Detroit Lions. Dan Miller joins me on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Dan, always a pleasure. How are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Anytime. Are you ever surprised by Lions collapses anymore, Dan? You've been doing this for a long time. I'm not trying to rub salt in any wounds here, but you've dealt with some heartbreak in your time as the voice of the Detroit Lions. Were you surprised or at all crestfallen by what you saw occur in the fourth quarter on Sunday against the Bears?
Oh, I think surprised and crestfallen. Yeah, I can check both those boxes. I think when you're up 23-6, even when you have seen things in the past, and I said when it was 23-6, remember they were up 24-6 against Arizona in last year's opener and ended up tying the game.
That's right.
You're
I forgot
cognizant
about that.
Of it, but it doesn't mean you expect it to happen. So, you had a pretty significant, series of events to happen for that to fall apart like it did, but it did, and that's you are what your record says you are. You're 0-1, and you had a brutal loss in week one, and now you got an extremely difficult test coming up in week two. So, look, there is a history there. Everybody knows what it is, and there's only one group of guys that can change it, and that's the guys wearing the helmets and the guys coaching the team. So they got to figure out some way to get this thing turned around because, you know, there's history and then there's the last 2 years as well where they have had a large number of games that they've been tied or winning in the fourth quarter that they haven't been able to find a way to get.
I was watching a breakdown from Lawrence Holmes of our sister station down in Chicago, 670, the score of what happened in the fourth quarter of that game. And what he largely attributed it to was sort of the arrogance of Matt Patricia and the defensive coaching staff. Mitch Trubisky notoriously struggles with zone coverages. Matt Patricia likes to play man, but when you're up three scores, why is he still playing man? Has anybody asked him about the strategy on defense in that fourth quarter going against Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, and he's not going to go into a lot of specifics on stuff like that, like most coaches. He's going to say that, you know, we'll take a look at what we did and we'll try to figure out what went right, what went wrong, and come back with it. I mean, Trubisky wasn't particularly good for three quarters, and then he found a way to catch fire. So credit to him. He threw, you know, terrific passes for touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win that game. And, this has been an ongoing problem with the Lions in that when it's crunch time, they have a very difficult time, A, pressuring a quarterback, B, stopping a quarterback. And that's something that they have to get figured out. And, you know, they had Trubisky on the ropes, and he missed some pretty easy passes early in the game, but credit to him, he made them late, and they've got to figure out how to stop that. They, you know, in their defense, they did lose Justin Coleman during the game. That didn't help. They were already down Jeff Okuda in the game, and then they lost Desmond Trufant in the game. So that's three of their probably top four to five corners that they lost, and certainly their top two going in. And all of a sudden, Chicago took advantage of that. And that's what they're supposed to do, and they did it. So credit to them.
Is Matt Patricia's – I would assume Matt Patricia's seat is hot this season. They need to see something from him because, like you said, it's been 2 years now of flashes of what that team could be, and I think that's a good roster, Dan, talking with Dan Miller, the voice of the Lions here on the Bill Michaels Show. But never consistency, and really the only thing that is consistent is disappointment and the type of things that we've – that, as you pointed out, we've seen now week one, two seasons in a row, them blowing three-score leads in the fourth quarter.
Well, I think his seat's been hot since last December when ownership came out and said that they will be back, but they need to be playing meaningful games in December. So I think really since that point, people have known that he's on the clock and they have to have a good season. And, you know, there's other things that may go into that decision. But when management comes out and says that, then I think you realize it's a mandate. You've got to win. You got to find some way to be relevant. And, you know, 3-12-1 or something that they put together last year isn't going to get it done. So, yeah, I think the seat is definitely hot, and it's been hot since they put that out there that if it's not looking good in December, then chances are it's not looking good for him to stick around.
I'm sure you've been studying the week one tape of the Packers getting ready for this Sunday's matchup. And I think they surprised some people this week, given the drama of the offseason, them going and getting Jordan Love instead of some offensive help for Aaron Rodgers. There was some friction between Rodgers and LaFleur last year, according to some reports, and that offense sputtered for the majority of that season. Were you surprised by how high a level that Aaron Rodgers and that offense was running on in week one, Dan?
Well, I was surprised when I saw 43 up against Minnesota.
Right.
That certainly surprised me, but I'm not surprised by anything Aaron Rodgers does. I mean, I've, you know, been tormented by him for I don't know how long. So I guy's a great player. I'm sure he's motivated. I'm sure when you see them draft a quarterback in the first round, as you guys have probably talked about many, many times, that's going to make a competitor in him just say, you know what, you're going to be sitting for a while because I'm not going anywhere. So it's a good team. They've got weapons. I love what they did with their defense last offseason and bringing the two Smiths in there on the edge. It's a team that's been well put together, and you know, I said going into the season, I thought the two teams were to beat were Minnesota and Green Bay. I thought Detroit and Chicago were capable, but they had questions to answer. So, you know, nothing's going to surprise me that the Packers do this year. There's a ton of talent on that team.
What do you think what problems do you think the Packers present for the Lions, and what problems do you think the Lions present for the Packers in this week two matchup, Dan?
Well, I mean, starts with the Lions are beat up at cornerback, and that's not a good place to be when you're going into a game against Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I'm not sure which of those guys are going to play. We know Justin Coleman won't because he went on injured reserve. So, you know, he knows that. We know that. That's what Green Bay is going to go after. And the Lions didn't do a good job stopping the run early against Chicago either. It didn't translate into points, but Chicago was really grinding things up on the ground. And I think that's where we'll have to wait and see if the Lions can tighten that thing up. If they don't, and all of a sudden you've got that, you know, group of running backs running successfully against the Lions, then Rodgers can freeze everybody for a second with play action. It can be a long day. So that's where I think the Lions really have to concentrate. And offensively, look, for the Lions, their strength is Matthew Stafford. If they're going to win this game, then chances are probably that Stafford's going to have a big game. And they're going to have to put up a lot of points and find some way to outscore Green Bay. And, you know, but you never know what to expect. I mean, if you go back to the Monday night game last year between, you know, Green Bay and Detroit going in, that you might have thought that was going to be a high scoring game, and it wasn't. And, you know, it was two highly questionable calls that allowed Green Bay to get out of there with a win. I don't think a lot of people expected the Lions to necessarily be there on a Monday night in Green Bay at that point, but they were. So, you know, the Lions are a team that, as much as you don't know what to expect out of them, they sometimes throw one at you that you didn't see coming. So they got their work cut out for them. Look, this is a team that is coming off a brutal loss in week one, going up against a team that put up a confidence-inspiring win in week one. So we'll roll it out there and see what happens, but you know, there's certainly things on paper that the Lions are really going to have to do and improve upon to beat a team like Green Bay.
That's Dan Miller, voice of the Detroit Lions. He can be followed on Twitter at DanMillerFox2 and our guest for the last few minutes here on the Bill Michaels Show. Really appreciate it, Dan. Great stuff.
Thank you, Rami. I appreciate it.
And Dan joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline as I scramble to get my read ready. There it is. They're hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Right before we talked to Dan, if you just tuned in, I was yelling about how much I hate the Cardinals and how stupid that benches clearing, bullpen emptying incident was in the middle of a pandemic last night over all things a catcher interference call. It's even dumber than I thought. And I'll explain right after this. It's the Bill Michaels Show. Rami in for Bill, and we'll be right back.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
There are questions on who would fill the open spot at inside linebacker for Green Bay. On Sunday against the Vikings, it was number 51, Chris Barnes. In his very first NFL game, the rookie ranked second in total tackles on Green Bay's defense, with seven, including a big hit on kickoff coverage. Chris Barnes went undrafted, had calls from the Chargers, Texans, and yes, the Vikings, but it was Green Bay who signed him.
So every other 31 teams, you know, that didn't pick me up, pass up on me, I will go out there and show them what they missed on. I feel good today waking up knowing that I'm a Green Bay Packer. So.
Head coach Matt LaFleur impressed with Barnes' debut in Minnesota.
There was one play where they tried to run the screen to Dalvin Cook, who is one of the top backs in the league, and Chris made just an unbelievable job of diagnosing that play and making the tackle, and that was a big play.
Chris Barnes out of UCLA played for Liberty High School in Bakersfield, California, where his quarterback and best friend was none other than Jordan Love.
Without Jordan even in the equation, it was still a great opportunity. But we definitely spoke about, you know, that making the NFL. We've talked about it throughout college, you know, throughout our little conversations here and there. We'd be like, you know, I'll see you at the top.
In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Program brought to you by our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, a Wisconsin-based company that provides home and business owners epoxy flooring covering at affordable prices, top quality workmanship. You can check them out on the web, Sean and the whole gang, at epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That is epoxyflooringdoneright.com.
Thank you, Bill. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels this afternoon. Coming up in top of the next hour, we're going to talk with Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, what he saw from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in week one, how much of it he expects to hold up, and talk about what's going on around the rest of the NFL. Real quick, earlier in the hour, I got all red-faced and angry about the St. Louis Cardinals, as I often do, because I hate them more than anything in sports, more than most things in this world. And they were especially stupid last night, as the captain of their stupidity, Yadier Molina, incited a benches-clearing, bullpen-emptying incident. I won't call it a brawl. No punches were thrown. There were barely shoves involved in this thing. But the benches cleared and the bullpens emptied and everybody got face-to-face in the middle of a pandemic, no less. And I said it's quite possibly, for the reason and given the times and the circumstances, maybe the dumbest benches clearing, bullpen emptying incident in the history of Major League Baseball. And that's saying something because they're all usually stupid. Well, it got dumber. I got a tweet right after I finished getting red-faced and ranting about that earlier in the hour. Somebody said, did you hear Mike Schilt's quotes saying it was Ryan Braun did it on purpose? I said, that can't be true. That can't possibly be true. Young Radio Joe Zanzola, please dig up those quotes if they do indeed exist. And he did, and he sent them to me. We don't have the sound, so it's time for Rami Reads to you. This is Mike Schilt, the Cardinals manager. I stared at the dugout. I mean, I can't be happy with the fact that, you know, look, Braun's been in the league a long time. He's a good player, a really good player. This is what you call couching the blow. He had a nice year. He's against us. And I want to make sure this is clear. There is no allegation against Ryan Braun necessarily. It just didn't look good. It's the second catcher's interference of a guy that's caught since June 5th. I think of 2004 when he made his debut. It just didn't look good when a little bit of conversation took place prior to it.
And if you pay attention to it, there was a conversation prior to it, and it just didn't look good. And at that point, you think I'm going to accept that? No. That was with an exclamation point. No. But you take the high road. There was a look in the dugout. There was something said. And at that point, all bets are off. You can't say you're not accusing the guy of anything and talk about how great he is, a baseball player, and you're not necessarily saying he did anything wrong to your catcher or your team, but just because it didn't look good, you weren't going to stand for that and felt the need to come charging out of the dugout and get in each other's faces because it didn't look good. Not because you thought Ryan Braun hit your catcher on purpose with a bat, but because it didn't look good. You can't say that's your reasoning and then say you took the high road. That is absolutely not the high road. That is the opposite of the high road. Like when somebody does something unintentionally that offends you, the high road is going, I know you didn't mean that, man. I'm moving along. You know what I mean? Like, no big deal. No hard feelings. I'm moving along. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my night. That's taking the high road when you don't think there is intent between an action that harmed or offended you. That's how you take the high road in that situation. You don't come charging out of the dugout and say, you think I'm going to accept that? No. Yeah, you accept that. That's exactly what you do. You accept that. Like, if you're saying Ryan Braun didn't do it on purpose, you just accept it and move on about your day, Mike Schilt, and accept your 18-3 ass whooping. That's what you do. You tuck your tail between your legs, and you come back and you fight another day. You got 8 games left against these. You really need to be brewing up bad blood in the middle of a pandemic? Because it probably doesn't end here, right? When you're going to see another team 8 more times in 2 weeks and you've already stirred the pot a little bit because it didn't look good and you just weren't going to take that, so you took the high road of coming out of the dugout and almost starting a fight. That's what I hate about the Cardinals, is that no matter what they do, they claim they're taking the high road and they're the class of baseball. They wrote the unwritten rule book of baseball. They can go straight to hell. Yadier Molina, Mike Schilt, and all the rest of them. I feel much better getting that off my chest. It's been a long time since I screamed into a microphone about the Cardinals in a studio. Rami Makhlouf, in for Bill Michaels, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, joins us next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.